You're listening to the Family Discipleship Podcast, a podcast of training the church. Hey, this is Adam Griffin, and I am here tonight without my co-host. No Chelsea, no Cassie, it's just me. This episode is going to be a new endeavor, a new try at a new format. Cassie and Chelsea will be back soon. In fact, they'll be back next week with a special Mother's Day episode. A Mother's Day episode, by the way, which I am not on. But this episode, I thought we'd try something new. This is just going to be me and you, the listener. Most of the episodes you listen to are us having a conversation, which is wonderful. In fact, the best episodes I think we've ever had are when I get Chelsea and Cassie sharing their insights. They're so wise, but we rarely, if ever, that I could think of, have ever had an episode where I get to talk directly to the listener. Any of us talks directly to the listener. So I want to do a bit of a ministry monologue where I'm going to talk directly to you about some things that I think are really important, and I hope it blesses you. So this episode, like I said, a little bit different. We'll be back next week with a great episode for Mother's Day week. Just some quick family business. If you haven't already checked out familydiscipleship.com, you'll see some of our resources posted there on our new website, including if you haven't bought anything yet for Mother's Day for your mom, or you haven't asked for it for yourself, check out the newest resource we've got, this partnership we've forged with Meredith over at concreteconversations.com. So concrete-conversations.com. Check that out. It's a fantastic new resource. It makes a great gift. It's beautiful. It sits on our table in our home. It's 60 little family discipleship oriented questions to get your family talking about what matters most. And you can find out more about that at familydiscipleship.com or concrete-conversations.com. And check that out today. I can't encourage you enough. Go check that out. All right. So tonight, the topic that I want to address with you, listeners, and this is something that people have asked me a lot about, and it's something that I want to address. So thinking about it, both from a pastor's point of view and a parent's point of view, thinking the question is kind of what makes a kid's ministry great? And at the same time, I think the way we're naming this episode is what's the matter with the kid's ministry? This is the way it's phrased a lot. When I hear people, talking about what church they're picking, or when I hear pastors talking about planting a church or starting a new church, or just reforming a church, building something new, they'll ask this really important question: what's the matter with the kids' ministry? So families, when they're kind of evaluating where they're going to go to church. So before I jump into the seven things that I think are important to consider with a kids ministry, let me just say this. I want to give a special shout out to the kids ministry team at Eastside Community Church. If you're listening and you go to Eastside, you already know these women are the absolute best. They love Jesus, they love our kids, and they do a fantastic job at everything I'm going to walk through in this episode. So when I say what's the matter with the kids ministry, I am not talking about, hey, here's what's wrong with Eastside Community Church. I love our kids ministry where I get to pastor. So special shout out to Rebecca and Stephanie, Emily, Dakota, Victoria, and Megan, our staff for kids ministry. They are fantastic. And of course, all you volunteers who serve in there as well, parents, singles, married, no kids, everybody who is volunteering, I'm so grateful for you. So now that that's out of the way, let's get down to business. What's the matter with the kids' ministry? I'm going to list off seven things I think need to be considered when you're talking about whether or not this is a church you should be a part of and you're evaluating their kids' ministry, and whether or not you have it designed right if you're planting a church. But one more caveat. I am not here to bash the church or diss the church. I love the church. I love the body of Christ. So when we're talking about what's the matter with the kids ministry, don't hear me say, here's how to pick it apart. Here's how to nitpick it. I want us to be all about building the church, not bashing the church. And so I hope that's the theme that comes across here. Is this what you should look for? And if you don't see it there, it's not the time to be negative and complain and remove yourself necessarily. Although there may be a time for that, what I'd really love for churches to consider is how do we build this in if we don't already have it? So the first thing here is that any kids' ministry should be safe. Every one of these seven items I'm going to walk through starts with an S. So the first thing is any kids' ministry should be safe. I've dropped my kids off at a lot of different kids-oriented programs. Honestly, the worst ones for me have been some of the sports camps around our city. Sometimes I've dropped off my kids at a sports camp and it did not feel safe. There was a sports camp we took our kids to once and we were dropping off Theodore, our youngest. He was 6 years old at the time. And I dropped him off. There was no sign in. There's just a teenager saying, oh yeah, he needs to go out that way. It was a tennis camp. And he walks out the door that they point him out. And because I'm really safety conscious, mostly because I've been through a lot of safety training, but also, unfortunately, I have processed a lot of the worst case scenarios that can happen when it comes to kids ministry and been through some of those. So I'm very safety conscious when it comes to this kind of stuff, camp. So I watched my youngest son go out the door and there he is wandering off into some sports complex, nobody within 50 yards of him. And of course, all my alarm bells are going off. I'm like, how could this be? How could you guys think this was okay? You just go, yeah, just send him out that door. He's 6 years old. So I asked the teenage girl, hey, where is he supposed to go? He doesn't know where he's supposed to go. And she goes, oh, somebody's going to find him. So I walk out the door and there's one adult guy, looks like a coach there. And I say, hey, that's my six-year-old son over there. He doesn't know where to go. I dropped him off at this camp. We're paying for the sports camp. Can you tell him where to go? And he's like, oh yeah, I'm on it. That's my job actually. And I'm like, okay, well, you're not doing your job. Anyway, so he goes and finds my six-year-old, gets him where he's supposed to go. And I'm just hoping and praying they're safe the rest of the day. But when they come back, there's stories about how when they're at the playground, all the coaches who happen to be high school and college students are on their phones, not caring about the absolute Lord of the Flies pandemonium that's going on in the playground. And again, my kind of pastoral the fire alarms are all going off, going, is this a safe place to drop off my kids? Any kids ministry at a church should prioritize safety. And there's several things that go into that. Anytime you're taking responsibility for the church's most precious and vulnerable people, you have to be professional and you have to be prepared. No one should be winging it with kids ministry, especially when it comes to safety. Volunteers, any volunteer in kids ministry should be carefully and thoroughly vetted for all their own personal qualifications, whether or not they are suited to serve with kids. Because, and let me say this with some emphasis, serving in a kids ministry is a privilege. Is not a right. No one is owed the opportunity. No church needs to say, well, they signed up. I feel bad to tell them no. Listen, it is a privilege. If there are red flags with somebody who wants to serve with kids, you ask them to serve somewhere else. You don't say, well, let's make an exception. We never make exceptions when it comes to that kind of stuff. The kids' safety is paramount. Then the volunteers should all be trained to identify a couple different things. We use Ministry Safe Training, which trains in kind of two main areas. One is peer-to-peer. It's to identify where abuse or inappropriate behavior may be happening between a kid and another kid, as well as anything from adults to kids. So it's not only to recognize this as a volunteer to see where it might be happening, it also creates a little bit more of a filter for you, for your volunteers to say, whether or not they should be serving with kids. It trains them to identify any problems. And one of the big things here, and hear me on this, it's not always just about protecting kids. Kids ministry safety is also about protecting the volunteers themselves. Nobody should be asking volunteers to put themselves in a compromising position. For instance, we shouldn't have any policies where a volunteer is taking a kid to the bathroom by themselves, or any space really where a volunteer is by themselves with a kid, where it would be my word against theirs about anything that happens. So we have a lot of things at ESOD, and certainly I'd recommend you look into these things that both protect your volunteers and your kids, but every kids ministry should have safety procedures. And it is okay, parents, if you're going to a new church, to ask, hey, could you fill me in on what the safety procedures are for the kids ministry? Not just fire exit, not just tornado, not just lockdown, although you hope a church has all of those things as well, but how do we vet volunteers here? How do we train volunteers here? And then parents, I'd encourage you, and we'll get to this later, to be involved, even to the point of going through the same training. So all the classes should have proper ratios to leaders. The classes should be in a space that is built for or safe for kids. And we should have rules for the kids when it comes to behavior. And we should have rules for the adults when it comes to handling those kids' behavior and discipline. And then think about the facility as well when it comes to safety. Exits, entrances should be monitored, locked. Emergency action plans should be thought of and posted clearly. There should be rigid bathroom procedures. And all of this, church people, it's just the tip of the iceberg. But to have a great kids' ministry, you must not compromise safety procedures. I hope you guys who are listening are amening along with me. When it comes to discipling the next generation, and we want to do it well together as a church, safety is one of the highest priorities. Then, the second thing, the second S, it should be scriptural. I have seen some kids ministry that uses the Bible, absolutely, but uses it in a way I wouldn't. We've had a lot of episodes about this. You can listen to the one we did with Amy Gannett, which is so good. She helps us talk about moralism and behaviorism. We're not trying to teach kids. We're not trying to use the Bible just to get kids to do what we want. We're not trying to manipulate kids by using the scripture. What we want in any good kids ministry is that it's rooted in the scripture, but it teaches the scripture the way it is. I'll give you an example real quick. I saw a kid's message recently where they used the text of Sapphira and Ananias from Acts. And if you remember in Acts, Sapphira and Ananias lied to the church about their property and whether or not they donated to their church. And when they are called out on their lie, God takes their lives and they die. And so they teach this lesson to kids. And in this lesson, they teach what the lesson's kind of result, the lesson's the climax was that God kills liars. And the kids were going, I don't want to die. This was all part of the message. The kids that are teaching it are going, I don't want to die. I'm too cute to die. I'm too young to die. And I'll tell you what, there are some ways to teach that text. I'm not saying you can't ever teach that text to kids, but if the result of the message for kids is don't do what you shouldn't do because God hates it or he'll kill you or he'll punish you, and that's where you leave it, I'm not saying that God loves sin. But what an incomplete message to children if we leave them with, if you ever lie, something bad will happen to you. That is not the message of the gospel. And what we want to teach kids when we're teaching them the scripture is not just some kind of empty behaviorism. We want to teach them the full counsel of scripture. We certainly don't want to twist the scripture just to scare them to get to do what we want them to do. Any good kids ministry is going to teach them the Bible, not just the characters of the Bible, not just the David and Goliaths and the Jonah and the whales and the Noah and the Ark. It's going to teach them the whole Bible at an age-appropriate level, when appropriate, as much as possible. Well, that's attributes of God's or stories, but it's got to be scriptural. So many kids ministries are just centered on watching kids. Any good kids ministry should not be childcare. And if you hear a church call it childcare, I hope that maybe raises a flag for you to go, are we really providing childcare so that ministry can be done in some other room? Or are we trying to provide actual kids ministry? I always say it like this, kids ministry is more than crayons and more than crackers. It's more than a suitable distraction for kids so that adults can be ministered to. And I know there are some churches out there whose philosophy is that. And I'm not trying to completely call you out. I'm just saying there's something better than babysitting. And kids ministry shouldn't just be babysitting. A good kids ministry is taking seriously the Great Commission and making disciples. The kids ministry often will say is one of the largest unreached groups that come to the church campus every week. There's a bunch of kids who are not saved at our church, and we want them to hear the gospel, not just to make sure they are monitored while their parents hear the gospel. So we're trying to teach kids, like we say in the Great Commission, to obey everything Christ commanded. Absolutely. But it's not behaviorism. It's not moralism. That's an incomplete picture of the gospel, that God just wants your behavior. No, if you do that, if you tell kids your behavior has to be perfect or God doesn't love you, you're actually teaching them a false gospel. It's heresy. What we want kids to learn in our ministry is that, yes, sin is bad. Yes, sin separates us from God. But we are all sinners. And so if we leave that hanging out there, then they're going to think, oh, one day when I lie, there's no love for me in God or no place for me in God. No, we want our kids to learn the whole gospel. We want them to see the grace of God. So that's a really important aspect. We teach them the gospel by which they can be saved. We teach them about the love of God, and we want an age-appropriate version of just about everything in the Bible as much as we can. One of our favorite people, who's one of our favorite authors, coming from one of our favorite publishers, has a new resource for you this summer. It's called God Is For Us. God Is For Me is the most important truth to ever capture your kid's heart. It's a new resource that's going to focus just on Romans 8, one of the most beloved chapters of the Bible. God Is For Us is a new in-depth Bible study for kids by our friend Trillia Newbell, and it's going to help you and your child see the power of the gospel and God's everlasting love for them. And if you would like to study Romans 8 together as a family, you can pick up a copy of the adult Bible study, If God Is For Us Too. These are the perfect studies to help you and your kids grow in faith this summer, and you can get both studies for just $20. Go to moodypublishers.com and look at God Is For Us by Trillia Neubel. Like I said, we love Trillia. We love this study series, and we love Moody Publishers. So go to moodypublishers.com, get these studies today. Listeners, we've got a new ad from one of our favorite sponsors, my friend Claire. Shout out to you over at Sky Ranch Camps. Sky Ranch has an exciting new offer to share with you. Now, we at the Family Discipleship Podcast, we love summer camp. We believe it can be an incredible discipleship milestone for your family, for your child. Whether your child is 6 or 16, they're going to have the best week ever getting outside, unplugging from technology, being surrounded by mentor-minded counselors that are crazy intentional about their safety, of course, but also their fun and spiritual growth. So we're grateful to partner with Sky Ranch in offering your child $200 off their first week of overnight camp. Just use the code SKYFAMILY, S-K-Y, FAMILY, when you register at skyranch.org. You're going to see a clear difference at Sky Ranch. Their programs are crazy fun with a powerful purpose. So if you haven't figured out what your kid's doing this summer, or if you haven't ever checked out the ministry of Sky Ranch, go to skyranch.org today. Again, $200 off with the code SKYFAMILY. Okay, the third thing, kids ministry should be supplementary. Kids ministry is not just like hired help to replace parents. There's so much, at least in the culture where I live in Dallas, where if you want your kid to learn baseball, you hire a baseball coach. You want them to be better at math, you hire a tutor. You outsource so many of the things you want your kids to learn. Church is supplementary, but it's not replacing the parents. No, the best kids ministry is going to be coming alongside parents. I'll tell you, there's a big difference in youth sports that I see here in Dallas between teams where the dads are coaching and teams where the coaches are kind of the hired gun coaches. And there's a difference in intensity. Surely there's a lot of things kids can learn from hired coaches. I'm not totally against that. I'm just trying to make the metaphor, the connection to what we're doing in a church. A kids ministry should not be like the professionals who come in and replace parents' role in discipling kids, but rather those who come alongside them. So any good kids ministry is going to be designed in a way, and the curriculum is going to be shared in a way where the kids ministry is trying to equip parents to be disciple makers and providing avenues by which parents get to disciple their kids alongside the kids ministry. The kids minister is not in the driver's seat, and the parent is not in the driver's seat. If anything, you know, it's Jesus take the wheel, but both of us together are trying to disciple these kids. So this generation, the best thing a church can do is try to get parents on board with and catch a vision for and equipped for what discipleship looks like, and that would be really easy to kind of dovetail with what the kids ministry is doing. Chelsea, the co-host of the Family Discipleship Podcast, has often said that she wishes she would hear parents, instead of bragging about how good this kid's ministry is at this church or this kid's ministry is at that church, talking about it like it's an amenity that we're choosing, like an apartment complex. She says that she wishes she heard family saying, "The best kid's ministry is in my house." I want that too. I want the best kid's ministry to be behind our front doors. Any good church is trying to build towards that. Whether it's sending home like take-home sheets so you can see what the kids learned, or it's a newsletter. One of the things we do at Eastside is there's a monthly newsletter to the parents about what the kids are learning and what's coming up, what events are going on. But the church should be focused on developing disciples in the home and coming alongside that. So whether it's on Sundays or it's midweek, volunteers are supplementary to a godly family, not a replacement. Okay, next, a good kids ministry should be shepherding. So this is a lesson I learned a while ago. At a church I used to work at, we would have what was called our care meeting, where our pastors would get together and we'd talk about what couples or individuals were in significant need. They needed some significant care. So maybe they were sick, or maybe their marriage was struggling, or maybe there's some significant sin issue that was either going unrepentant or causing some significant struggle. So the pastors would have this meeting. And there was, on more than one occasion, times where we had been meeting as pastors and talking about situations for months. And then one day a kids minister would come in who hadn't been a part of that meeting and say, "Hey, something's going on with this kid in this ministry." And we would say, "Oh yeah, yeah, this is, their family's going through this. Like a mom and dad are getting a divorce, or there's a ton of fighting, or there's drug abuse." And the kids minister, rightly so, would confront us a little bit, correct us a little bit, and say, hey, that would have been really good to know that that was what was going on in that family. And honestly, it was an important lesson learned for me that the kids ministers are called to shepherd, and they're called to oversee in a similar way that the pastors, the lead pastors, the elders are called to serve. And I was excluding them. We were excluding them in a way. And so what we tried to do at our church over the last few years is invite the kids ministers into care in a way that honors their position as much as it would honor any position: student minister, college minister, care minister, disciple-making pastor, whatever the roles are that your church has. But a kids minister or a child is not just a babysitter. It's not just a childcare provider. They're called a shepherd. And so I want them to know what's going on with the families of our church. We all minister to families. And if I'm caring for a marriage that has kids involved and I haven't invited the kids ministers into that, I'm excluding them from something the Lord, I believe, has called them to do, which is shepherd the people of our church. So I want the role of kids minister to be coming alongside families when they're dealing with things like grief and divorce, sickness, financial hardship, anxiety, depression, doubts, any other struggle. All the rest of the leaders in the church are doing that. So I don't know why. I don't know what was in my head when we used to exclude kids ministers from that circle. But now I hope, at least at Eastside, we're inviting them into that shepherding role. The kids ministry staff should be made aware of anything in the adult ministry, especially if it's going to have an impact on the kids. They're more than just like a logistical support to a Sunday program or whatever your model is, if it's Sunday school or simultaneous with the service or outside of that, or it's midweek. I want kids ministers. I think the best kids ministry is kids ministers that are deployed as shepherds for the smaller but no less valuable humans with very real needs who are often in the middle of very difficult situations. So we should always handle, of course, any care situation with appropriate levels of confidentiality and deference, but a kids ministry is going to do more than just manage the program. They're going to care for the real world needs of families. And that's what I want from our kids ministry, and that's what I think a good kids ministry should do. They consider the human needs and they try to shepherd them. All right, so that's kind of the shepherding role of the kids minister, and that is critical. All right, next, I think a kids ministry should be supported. This is the one that I hear the most complaints from other churches, and really this is not just kids ministry. This is kind of the church talk, the insider church talk about how do you get your lead pastor to care about X, Y, or Z, be it missions or men or women's ministry or kids ministry or student ministry. How do you get the lead pastor to do it? But in addition to just the kids minister, I'm sorry, the lead pastor supporting kids ministry, I think it's important to talk about how I want parents to support the kids ministry and the lead pastor to support the kids ministry. So a lot of times, parents, this is a call out for all of us, we'll treat kids ministries like we are customers and they are providers. I've seen this over and over and over again where there's complaints, where there's whining, where that, why weren't you ready for this? Why don't you have enough volunteers for that? Why isn't this space more like this? Why don't you, guys, your kids ministry is part of the church that you're a part of, which means it's kind of it's a we the people. It's not a we the provider. It's not a, you are not a customer and they are a product. You are a part of that church. So as a part of that church, one of the things you should be thinking about is how can you be part of the solution to any problem your kids ministry is facing? If it's a shortage of volunteers, hey, that's not their problem. That's all of our problem. And so a kids ministry should be supported by parents. In fact, I love it. At Eastside, one of my favorite things is to see our parents who serve in the kids ministry and balancing when they are in service. Ours is simultaneous with service. So when are they worshiping and when are they working? When are they volunteering? And those aren't always the easiest things, but I really believe the parents have the potential to be some of the best volunteers in a kids ministry. So if you have a church where it seems like the parents are kind of thinking, hey, the singles should really be serving, or the young adults without kids, or the young marrieds without kids, they should be serving, but I have kids, so I can't serve in kids ministry. That is an entitled attitude that I think really needs to die. The best kids ministry is going to be supported by the parents. And then back to the beginning thing I mentioned, it should also be supported by the lead pastor, by the preachers, by the elders, by whoever's getting up to the pulpit. So the person in the pulpit, I hope, is supporting the kids ministry by casting a vision that goes so far beyond childcare, that's so much more than just babysitting. I want the pulpits of our churches to talk about kids ministry as one of the most essential and important things we do. And where that's not the case, I hope the kids ministers or anybody else can earn the ear of the pastor by addressing in a way that's gentle and respectful and inviting them into catching that vision for why kids ministry is an essential part of what the church does and not just some kind of childcare so that the real ministry can happen somewhere else. Now, a good kids ministry is supported by the pulpit and by the parents. They're going to carry that together, the parents, the pulpit, and of course, the volunteers, the staff, anybody else who's helping lead. But it's important that we don't get this kind of like customer and consumer idea. That will really undermine the church's vision. So I want parents to see themselves as co-laborers and pastors to see themselves as vision casters for that, for those parents and for those volunteers. All right. We're closing in on the end here. Second to last one, I do believe that kids' ministries should be sensitive. And by that, I mean sensitive to the needs of kids, which are various, which are significant. And some of our kids, a lot of our kids right now in the families, in our culture and in our age, have special needs. So the best kids' ministry is going to consider the fact that some of our kids are going to have different and special needs. Another shout out real quick to Aaron and Mallory at Eastside, who helped lead this incredible ministry to kids with special needs. I'm so grateful for them and for all their volunteers and the kind of buddy system that they run. There's a lot of churches that do different things, and I get it. Some churches maybe not, they don't think they have the resources, the space, the finances, or the people to do it. I get it. Sometimes, though, I think we make it more complicated than it truly is. If we can cast a vision to our church that says there's some families that cannot or will not attend here unless we provide an avenue by which their kid who has special needs can feel at home, welcomed, and wanted here. And if we make that difficult, if we make it difficult to access kids' ministry here, then yeah, it's no wonder that kids with special needs are not a part of that church or part of that body. So what we want to do is be as accommodating and sensitive and while being reasonable about what we're able to do. But a great kids ministry is going to be sensitive to kids with special needs. So it's a fine question to ask when you're new to a church to say, hey, what are we doing for kids with special needs? And it's a great opportunity for you, if you're part of a church, to say, hey, how can I volunteer to make sure that our church is welcoming to absolutely anyone and any family? It's one of those things that we hear over and over again, that if a church doesn't have ministry to special needs people, then you shouldn't expect them to show up. And some churches say, well, we don't have any kids with special needs. And the truth is, one of the reasons a lot of those churches don't have kids with special needs is they haven't tried to provide something. So if you would try to provide something, and there's a lot of churches, I'm sure, in your community, there certainly are in Dallas, that are doing a better job than us, an amazing job at this, have been doing it longer. And that's not to say anything negative about Aaron and Mallory. I think the world of them and their volunteers. I'm just saying there's other churches that are doing it really, really well as well. And I think we have a lot to learn from each other. So look around, see what other people are doing. At our church, we'll provide things like a respite night for families with kids with special needs, where we'll kind of put together a program where they can drop off their kids, and then those parents get to go out and have a night out, have a date night. Or on Sundays, we'll do a buddy system where you tell us what service they're coming to, and we pair them up one-on-one with a volunteer who's more aware of and trained for kids with special needs. But I do think the best kids ministries are going to be sensitive to things like that. And then lastly, and this is super important, I think a good kids ministry should be super fun. Any good kids ministry should be an absolute blast, right? I mean, it should be fun. It is, man, you do not have to bore a kid with the Bible. You do not have to bore a kid with the gospel. So if you don't have to, why would we? Why would we set up a kids ministry and have it be dull? And it's one of my favorite things about our kids ministry team. I think of like Rebecca, Stephanie, Emily, how they put so much creativity into what we're doing in kids ministry. It ends up being this like beautiful, colorful, fun. Their events are a blast, whether we're at a park or a playground or we're just sitting down and we're getting the lesson. There's creativity infused in it. I think about Dakota at our church. She's an artist, and so she infuses her art into what we're doing in kids ministry. And Rebecca is just so over the top, bubbly, and fun. And Stephanie is so creative. And they kind of pool these ideas together and they try to make something really incredibly fun out of it. They're not just printing off color sheets. They're not just handing out curriculum. And their teachers, the volunteers at Eastside who come in and teach, they are prepared and they're thoughtful about not not entertaining kids, but engaging them. We have the opportunity as a church not to become, you know, competition for Netflix or something, but to engage them with the most important news they're ever going to hear. So why wouldn't we try to put some thought and some creativity to make something colorful and thoughtful and enjoyable? And again, there's no benefit to boring kids with the gospel. Amen? None at all. All right. Hey, Family Discipleship Podcast listeners, that was our first ministry monologue. I hope this blesses you. I love the opportunity to talk directly to you. If we were face-to-face, this probably would have gone even better, but instead you just get me kind of talking all by myself for a little while. There are a couple really fun ideas we have right now for some ministry monologues coming up. I am going to be back doing this format again for Father's Day. We're going to have a special episode over the summer where we'll talk about men, and we'll talk about good men and whether they are truly hard to find or not. So we'll solve that mystery in June. I'm looking forward to that. Well, thanks for listening, friends. If you think it's as important as we do to disciple our families, please help us out by giving us a great review wherever you listen to podcasts. Visit one of our sponsors and share this episode with one of your friends. If you want to keep up with us or join the conversation, you can find us at familydiscipleship.com, and you can follow the Family Discipleship Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. We love you, listeners. We'll be back with another episode next week for Mother's Day.